Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Mission Africa. And once again, by the marvelous grace of the great and living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, it is my pleasure and joy to worship His great name in the teaching and preaching ministry of the Word of God. It is also my great joy to fellowship with you, dear listener, in this time in the Word of God. Dear Christian, be encouraged today in your most holy faith, and seek the Lord evermore. He is truly faithful and just. He is righteous, and He will never fail His people. Friends, today we continue in our verse-by-verse exposition in Ephesians chapter 6. Today we are in verse 18, talking about prayer. That verse says in the New King James Version of the Holy Bible, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We continue today to talk about extended prayer and special seasons of prayer. You can learn more about our ministry, Mission Africa, at www.missionafricajk.home.blog. Dear friends, let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your great faithfulness and for the living oracles, the Word of God, which is truly alive and active and powerful. Thank you that it's like a sharp two-edged sword that pierces to the very divisions of our being, soul and spirit, joint and marrow. Thank you, Lord, that in the proclamation of the Word of God, you are actively working to achieve your great purposes for your people. And I pray, Lord, that you will achieve your purposes once again today, in this time, in the Word, in the ministry of the Word of God. Bless your dear people with grace and truth, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, His precious favor, that it may shine upon them. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen and amen. I begin today in this encouragement to prayer with a quote by the great Charles Spurgeon. He has written, "Anything is a blessing which makes us pray, and also prayer makes our mercies more precious than diamonds, because we must ask for them, seeking them earnestly." That's a wonderful encouragement for us to pray today, because indeed prayer is our blessing, and prayer requires an earnest seeking on our part. That is, we must engage in prayer. We must come to God in prayer, and our flesh is weak. Our spirits are willing. We thank God that they are. It is by the marvelous grace of God that we overcome the flesh and we engage in prayer with the great, true, and living God, even in aspects of extended prayer, that is, longer time periods with God in prayer. Last Lord's Day, we left off at this point. I was sharing with you truth from a piece that I have written entitled A Day with the Lord about extended times of prayer with God and encouragement to spend more time with the Lord. In A Day with the Lord, note that we must schedule with friends and loved ones and cancel appointments so that you have 6 to 8 hours of uninterrupted time with the Lord. This is an appointment with the King of Kings and takes precedence over all things. Matthew 6, verse 33, and Matthew 7, verse 7. Trust God and ask Him to show you the means that honor Him and bless you as you spend a day with Him. Psalm 52, verse 8, James 1, verses 5 through 6, and Song of Solomon 4, verse 9. In A Day with the Lord, your time could include A. Early morning devotions, Reading the Bible is essential, and reading devotional material is also helpful. B. Prayer and worship. The use of a prayer journal has been very helpful to me. Write out your prayers and pray from a biblical text, Matthew 4, verse 4, Ephesians 6, verse 18, Psalm 68, verse 4, and Psalm 119, verse 24. Sing hymns and songs to the Lord. This time should not be hurried, but should be a time of edification and enjoyment. C. Various spiritual exercises. Journaling. Exercise. Go on a nature walk. I like to run and walk and find this a help to meditation and prayer. Study of the Word, meditation on the Word, reading the Bible, and other God-honoring books. Being still before the Lord, quiet your heart and enjoy the Lord's wonderful presence and nearness. Numbers 9, verse 8, Hebrews 10, verse 22, and Isaiah 9, verse 6. D. If you are a minister, a day with the Lord can include sermon preparation. Some time can be used to prepare to preach and teach. Ezra 4, verse 15, Mark 6, verse 31, 1 Timothy 4, verse 7, Psalm 1, verse 2. E. Special prayer. Schedule 1 or 2 hours, especially seeking God in prayer and devotional reading of His Word leading to prayer. Luke 22, verse 41, Psalm 143, verse 1, Psalm 118, verse 14. F. Simply sitting before God in His Word, resting in the presence of the Lord, enjoying the beauty about me is quite a blessing to me. Enjoy God and His Word in nature or a place of quiet and undisturbed tranquility. Psalm 46, verse 10, Psalm 119, verse 59, Psalm 146, verse 6. Schedule time for silence and solitude. This is often helpful and needed. G. Fasting. Acts 14, verse 23. H. Scripture. Come back to God's Word repeatedly. Read Scriptures devotionally in adoration of His name. Simply to love God and rejoice in Him is blessed. Psalm 119, verse 97, Psalm 18, verse 1. May the Lord bless you, friend, as you seek to glorify and enjoy God in a day in communion with Him. Be much in prayer, spend longer time in holy adoration, read the Scriptures more earnestly and constantly, watch your lives more carefully, live nearer to God. That's by C.H. Spurgeon. Lastly, Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." In this piece, A Day with the Lord, we've seen recommendations for how we can spend more extended time with God in His presence, in prayer, and in the Word of God. John Calvin, the great theologian, in the spirit of an encouragement to prayer, has written, "Never will man pray as he ought unless the Master guide both his mouth and heart." The encouragement found in this remarkable truth is that the great sovereign Lord, the true and living God, by His marvelous grace, enables us to pray as we should, and that the blessed God, our Master, does indeed guide our mouths and our hearts in prayer. Prayer, especially in an extended time of prayer or in a season of special prayer, that often arises when we have a great need that we bring before God, and we feel it is important to spend time with God, to make this important need known to Him, to seek Him that He might help us with this special need. Today, for instance, there is a great need for special prayer regarding the COVID-19 pandemic. Also, a great need for special prayer that God's people, true Christians, will have sufficient grace to stand in these great days of stress, to trust the Lord, to live before Him in holiness, and to obey God, that our love will not grow cold in these great days of trouble. It is undoubtedly true that we are in need of grace from God, that we might discipline ourselves to engage with God, to meet Him in His Word and in prayer. I share with you now the thoughts of John Piper, an American pastor, about the need to discipline ourselves and seek God. I quote, "Henry Law was persuaded that sleep is a dull, stupid state of existence, and that prayer is the nearest approach to God and the highest enjoyment of Him that we are capable of in this life. Therefore, Law's book overflows with the benefits of early morning prayer." Here's Henry Law's thoughts as quoted by John Piper. "If you were to rise early every morning as an instance of self-denial, as a method of renouncing indulgence, as a means of redeeming your time and fitting your spirit for prayer, you would find mighty advantages from it. This method, though it seems such a small circumstance of life, would in all probability be a means of great piety. It would keep it constantly in your head that softness and idleness were to be avoided, that self-denial was a part of Christianity. It would teach you to exercise power over yourself and make you able by degrees to renounce other pleasures and tempers that war against the soul. But above all, one certain benefit from this method you will be sure of having. It will best fit and prepare you for the reception of the Holy Spirit. When you thus begin the day in the spirit of religion, renouncing sleep, because you are to renounce softness and redeem your time, this disposition, as it puts your heart into a good state, so it will procure the assistance of the Holy Spirit. What is so planted and watered will certainly have an increase from God. You will then speak from your heart. Your soul will be awake. Your prayers will refresh you like meat and drink. You will feel what you say, and begin to know what saints and holy men have meant by fervors of devotion." Piper encourages us in this quote by Henry Law to plan meetings with God and to, as necessary and beneficial, sleep less, that we might seek God in His Word and seek Him to pray. This speaks of the truth that we must be disciplined in our prayer lives, and of course an extended time of prayer and a special season of prayer so obviously requires discipline. My experience in this area is that as a very young Christian, I was not able to wake up early in the mornings, and this troubled me because more mature Christians would often share the benefit of, as Law says, renouncing sleep. That is, they would get up early and read their Bibles and spend a time in prayer with God. I really wanted to do that, but I failed often, though I attempted to do that often. In fact, at one point, I made a vow to God that I would do this, and I didn't keep my vow. I really failed miserably in that. I praise the Lord that He has forgiven me of not keeping my word. Interestingly, in very recent years, the Lord has gotten me up early in the mornings. For about 2 years now, I've enjoyed great ease in rising early to seek the Lord in prayer and in His Word, I believe that He answered that prayer that I made to Him many, many years ago, because I know that prayer is very important and that simply for me it's beneficial and necessary that I get up early to seek the Lord. And so, my friend, consider rising up early to seek the Lord. For some of you, that will be much easier than for others. It's true that the Bible doesn't require, that is, it's not a commandment that we rise up early in the morning, but the practice of faithful Christians over the centuries has proven that this is a great and beneficial spiritual exercise. God indeed does give us grace. And so while you may be interested in this, that is, rising up early to seek the Lord, an extended time in prayer, special seasons of prayer, but you find that the flesh is weak, let me encourage you, continue to seek God and ask God. He will more than abundantly reward your efforts to draw near to Him. God works in remarkable ways, and while discipline isn't easy for us, especially if we are young Christians and we have come from a very undisciplined background, yet the Lord's grace is sufficient. Self-discipline is a Christian virtue, and to be a disciple of Christ means that we are, by definition of the word, disciplined, and we are devoted to seeking Him in godly disciplines. God's grace will help you, and He will help you to draw close to Him, dear friend. Continue in your disciplines, and you will indeed draw near God. Another Christian pastor from centuries ago, Richard Baxter, who lived from 1615 through 1691, also offers helpful thoughts about how to spend a day with God. Baxter encourages us, "A holy life is inclined to be made easier when we know the usual sequence and method of our duties." Let me just add that that speaks of a pattern, habits, with everything falling into its proper place. "Therefore, I shall give some brief directions for spending the day in a holy manner." Here, Baxter is encouraging us how we can pattern our day, how we can schedule our day, how we can order our day to help us to live before God in holiness and as a pattern for self-discipline. He encourages us about sleep. "Measure the time of your sleep appropriately so that you do not waste your precious morning hours sluggishly in your bed. Let the time of your sleep be matched to your health and labor, and not to slothful pleasure." First thoughts. Let God have your awaking thoughts. Lift up your hearts to Him reverently and thankfully for the rest enjoyed the night before, and cast yourself upon Him for the day which follows. A friend of mine, in fact, a man who was my pastor at one time, has encouraged me with the idea that his first thoughts are that he greets God in the morning, thinking, sometimes saying, "Good morning, Lord," "I love you, Lord," or "Thank you for this day, Lord." Baxter encourages us, "Familiarize yourself so consistently to this that your conscience may check you when common thoughts shall first intrude. Think of the mercy of a night's rest and of how many that have spent that night in hell, how many in prison, how many in cold, hard lodgings, how many suffering from agonizing pains and sickness, weary of their beds and their lives. Think of how many souls were that night called from their bodies, terrifyingly, to appear before God, and think how quickly days and nights are rolling on, how speedily your last night and day will come. Observe that which is lacking in the preparedness of your soul for such a time, and seek it without delay. In the spirit of redeeming the time, as Christ's law commands us," law encourages us to gather our thoughts, to focus our thoughts on the Lord when awaking in the morning. About prayer, "Let prayer by yourself alone or with your partner take place before the collective prayer of the family. If possible, let it be first before any work of the day. Family worship should be performed consistently and at a time when it is most likely for the family to be free of interruptions. He encourages us that the ultimate purpose is that in this, we let holiness to the Lord be written upon our hearts in all that we do, and that no activity which cannot entitle God to and truly say that He set us about it, and He encourages us that all that we do should be done to the glory of God, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. He calls us to diligence, that is, to follow the tasks of our calling carefully and diligently with all of our hearts. We will show that we are not sluggish and servants to our flesh as those who cannot deny the flesh, and we will further put to death fleshly lusts and desires that are fed by ease and idleness. Also, we will keep out worthless thoughts from our mind that swarm in the midst of idle persons. We will not lose precious time, something that idle persons are daily guilty of. We will be in a way of obedience of God when the slothful are in constant sins of omission. We may have more time to spend in holy duties if we follow our occupation diligently. Idle persons have no time for praying and reading because they lose time by loitering at their work. You may expect God's blessing and comfortable provision for both yourself and your families. And lastly, it will encourage the health of your body, which increases its competence for the service of our soul. About temptations and things that corrupt, Baxter encourages us to be acquainted with our temptations and the things that could corrupt us, and to watch against these things all the day long, especially the most dangerous of the things that could corrupt us, and temptations from company or business that would be laid before us. He encourages us, watch against the master sins of unbelief, hypocrisy, selfishness, pride, flesh-pleasing, and the excessive love of earthly things. Take care against being drawn into earthly-mindedness and excessive cares, or covetous designs for rising in the world under the pretense of a diligence in your calling. He urges vigilance against selfishness, injustice, uncharitableness. In dealings with others, to watch against temptation of empty and idle talking, to watch against those persons who would tempt one to anger. Maintain modesty and cleanness of speech. If we converse with flatterers, be on our guard to not be prideful. If we converse with those that despise and injure us, strengthen ourselves against impatience, revengeful pride. He writes, at first these things will be very difficult while sin has any strength in you, but once you have grasped a continual awareness of the poisonous danger of any of these sins, your heart will readily and easily avoid them. When we are alone, to meditate upon the infinite goodness and perfections of God, Christ and redemption, heaven, and of how unworthy we are of going there, and of how we deserve eternal misery and hell. In that whatever we do in company or alone, do it all to the glory of God, 1 Corinthians 10:3, otherwise it is unacceptable to God. He says, place a high value upon your time. Be careful of not losing it more than you would of not losing your money. He encourages moderation in eating and drinking. Remember the sin of Sodom. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of food, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Ezekiel 16, verse 48. He encourages against prevailing sins, habitual failure, to immediately lament it and confess it to God, repent quickly at whatever the cost. it will certainly cost you more if you continue in sin and remain unrepentant. Do not make light of your habitual failures, but confess them and daily strive against them. Take care not to aggravate them by unrepentance and contempt. He encourages us to remember the special duties in our various relationships as husbands, wives, children, masters, servants, pastors, people, magistrates, and subjects. And at the end of the day, before sleeping, that it is wise and necessary to review the actions and mercies of the day past so that we may be thankful for God's special mercies and how we have been humbled for our sins. This will renew us to repentance and strengthen us in our resolve for obedience to God. As we examine our sins, whether our souls have grown better or worse this day, and whether we are prepared for suffering, death, and eternity. Lastly, Richard Baxter encourages us that these directions be engraven upon our minds and be made the daily practice of our lives, to sincerely adhere to these, and that these will indeed be conducive to holiness, fruitfulness, and quietness of life, add to us a comfortable and peaceful death. It may be helpful to some, this is something that I have practiced over the years, to actually keep a small chart or a list of spiritual exercises or activities, as Baxter has shared with us, and then simply check off or note in keeping the spiritual exercise for that day. I have a simple checklist that I use every morning when I seek God in devotion and prayer. Categories that I keep track of daily are, did I rise early to seek God? Did I pray that day? Did I have devotions with my wife? Did I have physical exercise for my body's health? Did I exercise self-discipline in my eating and drinking habits? My checklist helps me to keep track of how I'm doing in these spiritual exercises, and it really serves as an encouragement to do these things that I know God would have me to do, and it helps me to discipline myself in these areas. You might consider a checklist or perhaps even a chart that you can keep in your Bible and see often and use often. Friends, our time is gone for today. Let me again simply encourage you to extended time in prayer. God may be leading some of you into a prayer ministry, and you desire to spend hours and perhaps many hours often in prayer. Let me also encourage you to special seasons of prayer and of the necessary disciplines as you engage in prayer and meet with God in His precious Word. It's my hope that God will surely bless you in these things. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the teaching today. Use it to help my fellow Christians, brothers and sisters, to draw close to you and give you glory and honor and receive the blessings you desire to give them as they draw close in prayer. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning.